The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the fourth chapter. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all of the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And Jesus rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated. One of the true gifts of Christianity is that it is our task, our mission, our call to acknowledge and then to lift up those who might otherwise be overlooked. We might say that we're called to give a voice to the voiceless, or that we're charged with the task of giving power to the powerless. We follow, or at least we attempt to follow, the example of Jesus when he welcomed those that would otherwise be unwelcomed. Perhaps you've been in the position of being voiceless or powerless or feeling shut out. And perhaps you were touched by the generosity or the grace of another. Well, keep this in mind, this call to identify the ignored or to lift up those who are kept down, for it's a helpful introduction to the meaning and the role of Ash Wednesday. One of the true gifts of Ash Wednesday is that today is set apart to lift up and to acknowledge two of life's most difficult and painful realities. Two topics that are unpopular and they're unfashionable and they're often deemed unmentionable. Today we're charged with the task of discussing openly and with courage the topics of sin and death. To be sure, it's easier to pass by someone who is in need rather than it is to help them, and it's easier to ignore as long as possible the issues of sin and death. But just as our lived Christian ethic must include service, our lived Christian theology must include an honest reflection of sin and death. So to word it simply, sin and death are given very little voice in our culture. Today, on Ash Wednesday, we give them a voice. So why must we give a voice to sin? That is a fair question. What good does it do to acknowledge and to name sin? What good does it do to highlight or to lift something up that most of us would rather keep hidden away? The reason that we must give voice to our own sinfulness is that when we acknowledge our sin, we acknowledge our need for God's grace. Now, this can be worded in the negative, and when it is, it's really quite tragic. When we don't acknowledge our sin, we still will experience sin. And then we're left feeling confused and broken and hurt and alone. Let's think of that last part, the second part, first. There's tremendous pressure to be perfect, or nearly perfect. And I don't mean that in some abstract sort of way. There's pressure at every age Believe it or not, it doesn't stop at 21. There's pressure at every age to have it all together, to be in control, to have power, to be perfect. You can, I can, we can imagine in our own life what it means to have this ideal or this sense of perfection, this pressure to be perfect. We know the pressure to be perfect in our roles as a child or a parent, in our roles as a roommate or a friend. We know the pressure to be perfect as a teacher or a student. If we live striving for this perfection and do not acknowledge that we're sinful, we will end up experiencing a tremendous sense of hopelessness. Those around us are not perfect, and their selfishness and their thoughtlessness will hurt. And we are not perfect. You are not perfect. And our brokenness, your brokenness, will hurt others, and it will make the pursuit of perfection impossible. Sin is a reality, and if we're unable or unwilling to acknowledge sin, we're left feeling empty. But if we're bold enough to acknowledge sin, to name sin, we eliminate the fallacy of perfection. Perfection isn't possible. We sin, and our sin hurts others, and it hurts ourselves. Importantly, the acknowledgement of sin, it does more than eliminate the fallacy of perfection. It emphasizes our need for grace. You rely upon, I rely upon, we rely upon the graciousness of others. We will say things and do things that damage our relationships, and we need forgiveness in order to move forward. But more importantly, our sin is unavoidable and inescapable, and we rely upon the grace of God. On Ash Wednesday, we must acknowledge sin, for in so doing, we acknowledge our need for the reconciling work of God. In Lent, we acknowledge sin, and in so doing, we acknowledge our need for Easter. Now, I explained that on Ash Wednesday, we give a voice to both sin and death. At the beginning of the service, many of you came just moments ago and received the imposition of ashes. It's a small black ashen cross. It's drawn on your foreheads. I can see them from here, even in this light. It's a powerful moment. But why must we give a voice to death? Perhaps one of the most basic and yet most compelling reasons is that we will all experience death, and yet most of us are completely untrained to talk about it or to deal with it. There's really nothing else like it in our human experience. Most of our intimate moments are now openly discussed in commercials. There's truly no topic that's considered taboo for television or movies or music. And if you don't believe me, next time you're watching television, imagine watching it with my 5-year-old. You're allowed to smile if you'd like. Every 30-second commercial leads to a much longer conversation. I know I'm having fun at drug companies' expenses, but you can imagine that we discuss almost every bit of the life experience in a 30-second commercial. And yet you have to search hard within our culture to find any real, meaningful reference to death. When you've experienced death, the death of someone that you deeply love, you find out quickly that our culture is simply not prepared for this new reality. First of all, we don't know what to say when someone's grieving. We come up with awkward phrases that likely hurt more than they help, like it was his time or her time. We offer bad theology because we think that saying something, saying anything, is better than saying nothing. So we say something like, well, God maybe needed another angel. We bring a meal within the first 36 hours, but our attention rarely lasts 2 weeks or 2 months or 2 years. In fact, I think we would rather discuss just about anything else rather than death. Isn't it strange? We will all experience death many times over in our lives, our grandparents and parents, our closest friends, Even our spouse, maybe children, those people that we hold most dear to us will experience their death. And we were reminded at the beginning of the service that we will certainly all ourselves die. We'll stand by a casket. We'll stand in a cemetery. And our emotions will be at their most raw, and we'll feel our most exposed, and most people will be unsure of what to say or what to do. On Ash Wednesday, we name the reality of death. We don't shy away from words like cancer or suicide or drunk driving. We're not afraid to say out loud that grief hits hard and it stays. And the reason that we're able to name this reality is that we know that death does not have the final say. We know that death is not the victor. But here's what I love about Ash Wednesday. Even though we know that Easter's coming, and trust me, it's tempting now to slip into a pre-Easter Easter sermon, a sermon where I would declare the power of the resurrection, Ash Wednesday invites us to sit for a while in this reality of death. We don't have to be afraid to talk about it. In fact, we must. So where does that leave us? It leaves us with a task. Today it's our task to give a voice to the voiceless. Today it's our task to acknowledge our own sin, because when we do, we acknowledge our need for God's grace. Today it's our task to be unafraid to acknowledge that we are dust, and to dust we shall return. May the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.